Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I love y'all and appreciate you. I come here to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and I hope I could say something to encourage you and enlighten you and to give you the strength to walk as an overcomer in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, that you could walk in the power and the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. 13 years ago today, a dear friend, a pastor, and a wonderful brother in the Lord named Brother George Leon Pike, you've all heard of him so much here at Christian Temple, passed away 13 years ago today. Wonderful brother. I'll tell you, I'm so ever thankful for a man of God that yielded his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that came and walked among men to bring the understanding of the heavens. Amen. You know, the Bible teaches about the invisible things of God, speaking about the Father being invisible. Well, we know when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and talk about Jesus, we know that he was the visible expression of God. We know that Jesus was visible, that we could see him, we could touch him, we could understand the attributes of love. We can understand the attributes of our Heavenly Father. We can understand God by looking at Jesus Christ. Now the thing is our Bible teaches that he was the firstborn of many brethren. And the thing is that I say that I was thankful to get to walk with a pastor. Again, the Bible says to give honor to who honor's due. A lot of people draw up when you speak about a man. But when I read in the Bible, I hear him talking about great Apostle Paul. I hear him talking about Peter. We read about, you know, Elijah and Elisha. And we read about Noah. We read about Enoch. We read about so many men. And we find that this great invisible heavenly Father, this God, has revealed himself through mankind. And the reason that people draw up when you speak about men is because they don't carry enough spirit of holiness and godliness that anybody would give any admiration towards them whatsoever at all, so they want to make it wrong. So I understand that when we speak about the things of God, that there has to be a balance. And you could esteem the flesh of a man and you could lift him up and put him on a pedestal and be an heir and miss God. We find in the scriptures when some would come and bow down before these men, he say, look, man, don't bow down before me. You know, I'm just a servant, a helper of your faith. Get back up on your feet. So I understand, brothers, we have to have an understanding. The thing is, brothers and sisters, when I get into this Bible and read, I find out right here in Romans, starts out, it says, Paul, a servant of the Lord. And the thing is Brother Pike was a servant of God. And he finished his course. He fought the good fight of faith, brothers and sisters. And again, he departed 13 years ago today and went to receive his labors in the Lord. He went to be partakers with the things that he sowed and put away in heavenly places. Amen. We are people that teach and try to differentiate the things of God to people, for they can understand the Bible and the Word of God. Because so many people go through life, and some professing Christianity and saying that they're Christians, and they really never understand the mind of God or the Spirit of the Lord. And they've never really heard from God. And many times they've got these concepts of thought that's been passed down from men in generations. And many times they walk in doctrines of men. But again, according to the Bible, we're to be Spirit-led people. Again, so oftentimes when we speak about things in the Scriptures, I go into things to differentiate them for we can understand. Understand them. And I was preaching over in the areas of Humboldt, Tennessee, and I was ministering, and I'll just spoke to you what I said when I drawed up in my spirit, and I watched how the congregation just drawed up. And maybe I shouldn't say this, but maybe if you'd give me some time, I could possibly help you to understand and even explain. And I could just remember what the Lord was speaking to me and showing me. But I made a statement about the bride dying. And you know, you think, well, the bride of Christ, you know, we're eternal life, and the bride surely isn't going to die. You know, it can't die. And I remember, you know, speaking about that, and the Lord took me over to Rachel bringing forth Benjamin. And Rachel, when she was bringing forth Benjamin, died. And we look at that typical to the church, and understanding that the bride and the church, brothers and sisters, are one and the same. When you get into the scriptures and look, you know, it has to do all the same. And we know about church ages, when something of such, you know, there is a time, a beginning and an end of it. When something has an ending in many cases, it would have to do with a death. and being no more. Now the thing is that when we go to thinking, you know, this would be, even making a statement like this would be so contrary to many people's teaching, to the whole entire church world. We say we know that the Lord is coming back for His bride without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. So the teaching in the church is we're the bride of Christ and we're all waiting for Jesus to come back for us. And that's okay. I'm not going to dispute with them over that teaching because it's truth. But then yet, brothers and sisters, there's different dimensions. There's different dispensations. There's different powers. And there's different orders in God. And you see, one person could be walking right here in this world and be in a wilderness and walking in a second heavenly perspective. And another individual could be walking in the Spirit. They could be side by side. You could see them both. But they're actually truthfully dwelling in two different places. You see, speaking by the Spirit, I could say I am dwelling in heaven. Now you as a natural man could sit there and look at me and say, you really don't have an understanding, preacher, if you're telling me that you're in heaven. And as Brother Pike would even use this expression, he says, well, if you don't think this is heaven, wait until you find yourself in hell and you can't even get you a drink of water or a little spittle on your tongue and you can't find anything for the agony and the pain and the things that you're in, you'll come to a realization that you truly was in heaven. I'm talking about this entire world, brothers and sisters. I know that I could go into some understanding here, but I'm talking about every single individual in this world that's got breath in their lungs is in heaven. The devil's in heaven, according to the Scripture. And you say, oh no, preacher, I know that the Bible teaches us that, you know, we saw Satan and Lucifer cast out of heaven like lightning. And we know that he's not in heaven. And we go into Scriptures, we find that he has access to and fro the earth and heaven. Now the thing is we've got to come to some understanding. If we're going to teach the third heaven, as we read in the Scriptures, I could take over there and turn over there to you, and we could read about the third heaven. And again, as you heard me say so oftentimes, if there is a third heaven, we're going to have a second and a first. And I know sometimes I might sound repetitious, but I have to say these things because different people are on different perspectives and different levels, and you got to lay sometimes the same foundation over and over. And one day, it's going to go from just hearing it in this natural ear, and it's going to quit being just a vibration right here in this ear, that it's going to turn into a quickening spirit, and it's going to drop down into their spirit, and all of a sudden, it's going to become a revelation to them. You see, pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that you could receive a revelation. So you could receive something that I'm teaching in an intellectual way. And all of a sudden you say, I understand what he's saying there. I could perceive that. You know, I know that. And you could go along thinking, hey, you know, this is okay. I could, you know, this is all right. I don't think it's really that necessary maybe or whatever. And you can go along like that. But one day it's quickened to you. I've had numerous people over the years at different times come to me, and I would touch on something in a service that maybe years prior or months prior that I took time and expounded on it in depths, and I looked at it from the third heaven, I looked at it from the first heaven, I looked at it from the second heaven, I went below the earth and looked at it, I went as far as the stars could be, and we looked at it, and we talked about it, we turned it inside out, right side up, and then months later, I just made a brief mention of it. And they say, my, you know, you said that when you was minute. And man, all of a sudden, I don't know. And I like, whoa. But it shows the preacher something and you something that this could only come by, the Bible says some of these things could only come by discerning of the Spirit and come by the Spirit. You know, and it has to be the Spirit that grants it unto you. So it isn't according to my ability to be a great speaker or orator or my great skill or ability to teach. It comes by the Spirit of God. The thing is, I might stumble around. I might mess up my English pronunciations. I might misread the Scriptures and stumble around that. But if I'm speaking by the mind of Christ and divine revelation or by the Spirit of God, He can take through my inabilities and things and quicken it to you and bring you an understanding and a revelation that you could walk in greater places with God. Amen. So you make a statement and such and can't leave it laid, speaking about this bride and a point of coming to a death and a dying. You know, and we think of the church and we know that it's going to come to an end. When we think of the church has a purpose. You say, well, we are the church, the many-membered body of Christ. And I say, yea and amen. And it goes through a metamorphosis. Now we get into another dispute here. The Bible teaches in the Scriptures that it's not this body made with hands, so to speak, that came through the loins of humanity or mankind. It's not this body. You know, it's sown in iniquity and raised, brothers and sisters, in power. It's sown mortal and raised immortal. And it speaks speaks about this. But then yet we could go into some thoughts that if it wasn't this body, then it wouldn't be what we would call a resurrection. But then yet there's some fine lines again here, and we know that this body is corruption. It's sown in iniquity. It's the sin part. It's pointed to corruption and back to the dust, so to speak. But then yet it goes through a metamorphosis. It goes through what the Bible calls a transfiguration. It goes through a change. And that change is in a twinkling of an eye. It's that fast. It's even faster than that. How long does it take for an eye to twinkle? What is a twinkle of an eye? Just like when you see that little gleam of light just flash off of it. That's fast, isn't it? So we find that when we speak and we start differentiating, we find that things would almost sound contradictory. And like we could find fault with it. As an individual called me today and I was using an example to them that I could open up the Bible right here and read. We know the word is God-breathed and inspired by God, right? So when we say, well, who wrote this? We know it was God. But we do know that he uses men to inscribe and put things down. But we go over into the writings there in 1 John and we find that this author writes down in there and he says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and you're deceived and you deceive yourself. Okay? So now we say, can anybody dispute with me that that's what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches? You can't. But then we go over another two chapters over, and it said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. And if you sin, you are of the devil, is what the Bible says. So you say, well, which one, Brother Rob, do I believe? It was written by the same writer. We know it's again God-breathed, but we find that it was the same author of 1 John there in the first chapter, and he's writing in the first and the third chapter. And when you would read these things and look at them at somewhat of a surface value, you would say, well, the Bible's contradicting itself because here it says, if you say you have no sin, that you're a liar and you're deceived. And then over here it says that if you sin, you're of the devil. And then if you're born of God, you cannot. So which one are you going to believe in? They're both accurate and they're both right. So am I accurate as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to come in here and teach the people in this church and teach you that you're sinners and that you're all sinners? Yes, I am. That would be my given right to preach that gospel because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? So my obligation is to teach that. Now, if you come to me in this church and you say, brother, I never sinned. You know, hey, I'm born of God. Now, I had a man tell me that. He said, I was born on this side of Calvary and I've never sinned. Well, see, there's some fine lines there. You can't be overconfident and dispute with that kind of a thing, but then yet it's contrary to the word of God. And it would depend on what spirit the man was speaking forth from when he said it. But you can't speak that as a man, but you could speak that as a son of God, because the Bible teaches that he remitted my sin before the world ever was. So when was your beginning? One would say, well, I was born in the 50s. One would say in the 30s. One would say whatever. You know, and they say this is when I was born. You see, that's when I had a beginning. But then yet, sons of God have no beginning. You see, we go to the scriptures again and speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I know, you know, he was born over there in Bethlehem. We read about it. We got the historical events and accounts of it. And we know that Jesus was born there in Bethlehem. We know that that was some 2,000 years ago. But then when we read the Bible, it says that he has no beginning or an end. And you say, Mother Mary was his mother. But then the Bible says he has no mother or father. And you say, but we know that we read in the scriptures and the Father is the Heavenly Father. You see, and you say, preacher, what are you trying to do? Confuse us tonight, man? You're throwing all these things out here and you're weakening the Word of God and making it not have any strength because you're showing us the contradictions, you might say, of the Bible. And I say, no, if that's what you've perceived tonight, you're in gross error. I'm not doing that. I'm trying to bring you to the need of an understanding that sometimes, again, as the scriptures say, we think we know something, we don't know what we ought to know. And many times we could make things out there to challenge you in the way that you think, for you could start beginning to think in the mind of Christ, amen? For you could start understanding things a little bit differently. You know, and this is why there's many times, many denominations, and many times people separate from one another. Even in amongst some of the people we fellowship, there's a great dispute between Brother Branham and Brother Pike. Well, Brother Pike taught this and Brother Branham taught this. And some of the men that love Brother Pike and worked with him and labored with him for years and years have come to an understanding. They say, well, I'm not in agreement with Brother George. I'm in agreement with Brother William Branham now. And the thing is when they make that sort of a statement, it's a lack of revelation and a lack of understanding, because they were both men of God and they both were right and correct. You see, but sometimes a man was looking at it from a different perspective. I'm going to use an example that I used to you to help you understand something here tonight. The thing is that if I took two of you, walked outside, and I said, okay, I want you to open your eyes and I want you to look at what we call the earth. And I want you to just give me a brief description within 15 seconds of what you see, for you could describe the earth to me. So you're standing there and you're looking and you say, well, I see the beautiful trees, you know, in the season that we're in, they're beautiful and green and full of foliage and leaves. I look over here and I see some beautiful flowers, you know, and I look up into the sky and I see the cumulus clouds, you know, and I see the wind rustling through the trees, and you give me a brief description of what you see. But then yet I talk to another man, I have to talk to him on the way of a radio. And he's out in the Mir space station floating around this earth. And I say, sir, I want you to give me a brief description and explanation of what you see as the earth. And he says, it just looks so perfectly round and I could see these brilliant colors coming off of it. And the oceans are so beautiful looking. And he said, I could look and I'm seeing all of North and South America and Central America. And I could see all the way across and I could see, you know, the English Channel. And he's giving you another description. And the man that's out there looks and says, man, what's this guy talking about? I'm not in agreement with him. But see, he's looking at it from a different dimension. He's looking at it from a heavenly perspective, we might say. Now, when we use something as simple as that to understand that many times we find people that get in disputes in the doctrines and over the scriptures and the word because they're looking at it from different perspectives. Sometimes we read the Bible as a man and we read it and we think of it as a fleshly man with a temporal life, and we limit unlimited God that's spirit, and that his ways are so far beyond our ways, and our mind is so contrary to his mind, and we look and read the scriptures according to our intellect, to our understanding, and many times to the way we think or the way that we've been indoctrinated. And so oftentimes we limit God in doing that. And we think, well, this is the way I believe. Who cares the way you believe? Who cares the way I believe? I'm not here projecting the way I see, the way I believe, the way I think. I'm here to project the word of God. I'm called not in defense of Rob Coons or Christian Temple Church. I'm called in defense of the word of God. And brothers and sisters, I got enough transparency or humility to stand before you and say, you know, that Brother Rob has been in error before. I'm going to testify to you, I don't have a spirit of error. A spirit of error is when you stay in continual error. But I have made mistakes of times past. I've made mistakes and God has helped me by the grace of God. And I got back up like the Bible says. And I think, Lord, have mercy on me and forgive me. Amen. I'm not an overconfident individual in the perspective of somebody come up to me and said, well, brother, I don't care if they've been saved for 6 months. And they say, well, brother, I've been reading in the scriptures and I believe that you're in error in such and such book and thus, I'd say, well, let's get it open and let's look at it. And if they could show me something where I am in error, I'm going to say, thank you. Why would I get upset about that? You know, we've had teachers all through life. You know, and if when you was in the fourth grade and the teacher said, no, you didn't add that up right. You know, you could keep on. You know, you'll be a good golfer someday because 4 and 4 to you 6. You'll make a great golfer. But it isn't working in mathematics. The thing is that, you know, they correct you and you make changes and adaptions and adjustments as you grow in the grace and knowledge of God. So the thing is as we're growing in the grace and knowledge of God, I hope you could say that you're still growing in the grace and knowledge of God. I hope that you're not an individual sitting here and think, well, I sit in the right place at the right time and I've got all understanding. Boy, that's a terrible place to be. As I was testifying to the fact of a great man of God, Brother Pike, he had the greatest understanding of any man that I ever had the opportunity to meet. Now, maybe you've met one with much more revelation and greater understanding and done greater exploits than him. Praise God. I'm very grateful that you had that opportunity. Not many people get to meet these kind of people. But I'm thankful that I got to meet him. And the thing is that he led us and directed us into biblical truths. Amen. As I used him as an example a minute ago, I went over to 1 John 1 and 1 John 3 and I used it as an example. It would look like it was contradicting itself. But then just as I use a heavenly allegory and say a man out there on the Mir space station looking over at the earth would see it differently than the man standing on the earth. A person that is looking at the word of God, speaking about it by the natural mind, by the concept of intellect, by the concept of studying, just like you studied your history book in world history, Now, believe me, you can do that in the scriptures. You could study it and get an intellectual concept of the word, and it's a great thing. But when it becomes a quickening to you, when it becomes revelation to you, when it becomes the move of the Spirit to you, it's totally different. I'm just telling you, if you've never partaken of the Spirit of the Word, then you wouldn't have any concept or any idea of what I'm saying. Because there's so many people that are just intellect. They just have a concept of what they thought, what they've reasoned out, what they've learned, and they put faith with it. And they said, well, this is what I've learned and I stand with it. It's like the Baptist man told me. He said, it don't matter what you got to say. I've believed like this for 52 years. And he said, it doesn't matter what you got to say. This is where I'm going to continue to believe. He said, I was born a Baptist. I'll die as a Baptist. Hey, I got no problem with that. There's going to be a lot of Baptist folks make it in. But that won't be one of them because he was in error. He was in error and he denied the truth. And he wouldn't listen to truth. He said, I don't care what the Bible says. A man full of the Holy Ghost will never make a statement, I do not care what the Bible says. A man filled with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God will never make that kind of an ignorant statement that I don't care. Man, I care what the Bible says. And again, I don't care if you're 6 months old in the Lord. If you could come to me and show me. Now, I took time tonight to show you some things that would look like that I teach. And I took you even into some of the other scriptures that would look like it was contrary to what I'm teaching. But you see, I know both of them. And I teach both of them. Now, if you choose to believe this one concept over here, and that's what you want to stand on and not believe this other, then, you know, so be it. You know, that's okay. If I stand here tonight to you and say, well, brethren, listen to me. I'm telling you. I'm convinced. I believe with all my heart. I can't die. And you sit out there and you say, well, brother, I believe you're not right. You're going to be as the woman that came over here and sat in the church about right here. She sat there and she goes, boy, that preacher's going to have some surprise someday. Because she believed it can die. And I could say this to you, say, well, I could believe with you and that you are going to die. Because you don't have faith. The Bible says that ye are gods, but you die like men for one reason, a lack of knowledge. You see, and if you don't have the knowledge that you're a god, did you hear me? If you don't have the knowledge that you're a God, then you're going to die like a man. And you say, well, I don't think that I could come to some kind of a doctrine or some kind of a teaching, you know, that someone's going to teach me that I'm a God. And, you know, I'm a man. Well, I say, I'm in agreement with you. You are a man. Every one of you sitting in here, if you're a woman or a man, you're still of the seed of man. And it's appointed unto you to die. I teach that. You're all going to die. Every one of you. Don't let this be some new revelation or anything. You're all sitting in here and y'all have got a sentence of death. You know, y'all come in. I got my best friend, you know, got a death sentence from the doctor. He gave him 6 months. Man, he had a death sentence the day he took his first breath. What are you so tore up about? Oh, the doctor says I'm not going to live much longer. Well, you know, you ain't living long anyway. The Bible says it's like a vapor and a mist. You're here for a moment, then you're gone. The Bible says it's quicker than a weaver's shuttle. You're all going to die. Okay? So, you say, well, Brother Rob, how come you teach us then that we're born of God and we pass from death and life and we can't die? Well, I teach that too. And the Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. How can you teach us both? I don't know what to do. Well, you need to receive them both because there's a man part of you that's going to die. But you got to differentiate this and make him twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man, both Son of God. And you're going to have to make him twain and realize that there is an eternal spirit of quickening spirit that's living in you that's eternal, that's living forever. And if you can't believe that, then you don't have faith. And if you don't have faith, you'll never know God nor please God and you will die. You understand that? There's more than one death. You see, the Bible talks about that there's some that are twice dead. Now it talks about twice dead, twice dead, twice dead. But then yet it says that they're still walking among men. They're still walking in this earth. You say, wait a minute, I just don't understand. How can they be twice dead and plucked up by the roots, but then yet they're still walking? And then there's another guy in a box and they said he's been here for 4 days and he stinks and the Bible says that he's sleeping. He goes, I just don't understand. This book is nothing but confusion to me and I just don't know if I want to know anything about it. See, it's not confusing. It is not confusing. The problem is you haven't learned to understand the scriptures and read it rightfully dividing the word of God. Study to show thyself approved, a workman who need not to be ashamed is what the Bible says. Learning to rightly divide the word of God. You've got to take and apply the part to man, 1 John 1, that you were born in sin and all of sin. You can't come and present yourself in your own righteousness because you was a good person. Let me tell you something, preacher. Man, I raised up in a Christian home. Man, I never touched alcohol. I never touched tobacco. I never went out into immorality. I found me a wife and I married this woman. I've never been in adultery. I've never been involved in fornication. And man, I've never done anything. I've never cursed. I never swore. And everything, man, I just never sinned. I said, you're a liar and you're father of the devil. That's what I would say. And you say, but Brother Rob, I don't understand that. All have sinned. It didn't say some have sinned. It said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. At your very best righteousness, the Bible says, you're as filthy rags. You know, I understand the Bible, brothers and sisters, and I can teach you everything that's appointed unto man and everything that has to do with man, with all of his understanding, with all of his intellect, with all of his brilliance, with all of his skill, and with all of his ability. You know what it is in the Bible? It's all dung. Do you need an interpretation of what dung is? But that's what you are, brothers and sisters, with your great brilliance and understanding and your college education and your degrees and your pressing and all that. It's all dung. So, I think we got the man part wrapped up pretty well and got it well understood. It's filthy, it's wretched. I mean, there's nothing more scummy than a man. Listen, there is nothing more filthy, wretched, scummy than a man. Oh my. It's a stench in your first birth. You're a stench in the nostrils of God. Okay, we got that down now. We all understand what we are in our first birth. Now, let's ring the bell. Okay? Let's ring the bell. And we take this one that's no good, that's wretched, filthy, immoral, ungodly, that's sin, appointed unto death, and it's got to die because it's appointed unto it. And let's look at him and we find out that this great, awesome God came and died and shed his blood, and he took that one and he took the sin and he took all of the iniquity and everything that that man was and had, the judgments and everything. Lord Jesus, read about it. Look at it. There was a movie that Hollywood tried to portray a few years ago. I think it was called The Passion or something. I'm not sure. But it showed him being beaten and beaten and beaten. And some say, well, I think it was, you know, a little bit dramatized, a little bit Hollywooded up. I don't think it was that bad. I don't think it was near as bad as it was. My Bible says that he was beaten so bad that he was beaten beyond recognition. That you wouldn't even know him. You couldn't have told who he was. He was a great bloodbath, his back plowed like a field. I've heard the description of the cat of nine tails that they beat him with. If I recall right, I think it had seven different lashes and things on it. Some with leads weaved into it, some with glass and different kind of metals and stuff. And they say when they would whip him with it, it would wrap around his body. And when they pulled it back, it would just rip his flesh apart. The Catholic Church has done a terrible job showing what the Lord looked like. I saw a picture of a statue they had of the Lord Jesus. And they had him laid in a coffin over there when I was in Mexico. And that's a disgrace to have our Lord, the resurrection, the one that is the resurrection, and have him laying in a casket for people to view. And they had him all purdied up and a little thorns on his head, a little bit of blood dripping down like that. It wasn't that way. If you've ever looked at one of the trees of thorns, they got long spikes on it. And the Bible said they drove it down over his head. And when they drove it over his head, it went down into the meat and went down to the bone of the skull and ripped his head open, and the blood was running from his head. And when they took and nailed him to the cross and beat his back, he was a bloodbath, brothers and sisters. This is what he did because it's what you deserve. It is what you as a man deserve. You deserve to be beaten. You deserve to be ripped into half. You deserve all those things as a man because you're a sinner and you're wretched and no good. But he came and paid the price for you. Amen. Now the thing is, the Bible said that we've been crucified with Christ at Calvary. That's because he made us partakers with his death. Amen. So yes, we have already died. You're already looking now and you see a man that has already died. You understand that? Already died. Because I was crucified with Christ. And my life, I now live in the flesh. The life that I now live in this flesh that you look at and that you see, I live by faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is a life that I'm living by faith now. Amen. You understand? It's no longer I that lives, but it's him that lives. That's what the Bible says. We're differentiating, brothers and sisters, for you can understand some things. You see, the Bible said if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. We lose our life. That's how it's saved. There's only one eternal life, and that's in Christ. If you read your scriptures in the Bible, it said you're predestined in Christ. You understand? Predestined in Christ. In Christ. Not in Baptist, not in Methodist, not in Pentecostal, not in Church of God, not in the Catholic Church, not in Mother Mary. In Christ. He is our salvation. There is no other way. There is no other door. He is life. He is the only life. He's the Prince of life. He is the beginning of all things and the end of all things. Brothers and sisters, we got to realize this. Now we're differentiating. We're looking at it. Trying to understand. So as I speak about this bride, you say, well, Brother Rob, the thing is, you know, I don't believe that the bride is going to die. I believe that the bride's going to live forever and ever with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be there in heaven. Well, the Bible, they said when they brought the woman to the Lord Jesus, and they said, well, whose wife is she going to be? It was married to my oldest brother, okay, and was married to him, but my older brother died. And in the Old Testament teachings and things, this next family member would have to take that woman and marry her. So the thing is when this other man married her, the next brother, he died. And then the next brother come along and married. I can't remember how many numbers it went through, but it was several. And they asked the Lord Jesus, because whose wife is she going to be in heaven? He said, you're an heir of the scriptures. You don't understand. It shows that you don't understand the scriptures. That's what the Lord said. The one that wrote this word and wrote this and all this, he said, it just shows that you don't understand what the Bible says or what the scriptures say. You're an heir of the scriptures. There's no marriage or given in marriage there. Now, if there's no marriage or given in marriage, that pretty much eliminates a bride there. Is that true? And the scriptures go on and says no male nor female. It says you become as the angels. You see, this male and feminine gender that we look at is something that's happening in this second heaven in the physical realm, the soul realm. So what we know is that it's done away with. Now I could go on a little more. When I talk about this death to this bride, just as I compare to our allegory of Rachel into the Old Testament, bringing forth Benjamin, which has to do with us today, we all understand these things. So then when we start looking over into that, and we start saying, well, you know, brother, you know, I'm not so sure about this. You know, you got to be careful. Amen. You have to be very careful. You have to. And I pray, and I want to be very cautious, because I don't want to bring to where people are stumbling around and things, but I try to take time to teach them. And I know that some of you will leave here tonight and just not sure. And that's okay, pray. God's not going to let you be deceived. If you're God's elect, believe the scriptures. He said it's impossible to deceive you. You understand that? But the Bible commands us to speak unto one another spirituals. And we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And sometimes people are tossed to and fro and they don't have understanding. They can't answer questions. They don't have understanding. And they're like the Bible says, a man running and beating at the air. Amen. I've been there. I understand this. So the thing is we're trying to break things down a little bit before we can understand the scriptures and the word of God. So when we start looking, and let's talk about Jesus now, okay? And you say, oh no, Brother Rob, you know, we got to be very careful there. I say, yes, we do. I would never speak against my Savior. He is my God, my King, my Lord. He's my everything. I'm nothing outside of Him. I'm predestined in Him. Without Jesus, I have no life. You understand that? And it would be imputed unto me death and damnation and eternal judgment. But then yet the Bible teaches us not to know Him in the image that He came in and walked among men. This is why the Catholic Church is in gross error. When they take this man that walked among men and they take him and they put him up on a cross, they have him hanging in their churches. They got him hanging outside their churches. As I go down into Mexico, they got him laying in a tomb like this. That's error. It's gross error. It's dangerous error. It's wrong. My Bible teaches not to no longer know Him after the image that He come in. We're not to know Him that way no more. We are now to know Him in the resurrection. He is the resurrection. That's what He told them when Mary came back to Him and said, you know, Lord, if You would have come here, you know, if You wouldn't have tarried and would have come here, my brother would still be alive. But now he's dead. And He said, he's not dead, he's asleep. He'll resurrect and He'll rise again. He told her that, and she said, are You speaking of the resurrection? And Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Now see, we're learning something here. He was walking among men in a bodily perspective that we're not supposed to know Him after. But then yet He spoke to her and said, I am the resurrection. And then yet I'm saying, you look at me, and the Bible says you give honor to them and double honor to them that preach the gospel. But then yet I tell you, I say, look, I'm nothing. See, I could say things about myself. You say I'm bringing the judgments and the wrath of God on you. I was reading a story about Brother William Branham. He was baptizing 200 people down here in a river. And there was a woman in a boat in a bathing suit. And he asked her to go on and reverence some different things, what they was doing, and invite her even to be baptized. And she said she didn't want baptism and mocked him. And he prayed. He looked up towards heaven and he prayed. And he asked the Lord, and this woman went face down in her boat right then and there. Make you think of Ananias and Sapphira a little bit, don't you? And the woman went face down in her boat and she spent the rest of her life in a sane asylum. You see, you can't mock God nor God's man. You got to be so cautious and so careful. And you think, well, I just don't know about that. Well, I could take you in the Bible and read about it. Brother Paul told a man, he said, you'll go blind from this day forth. And he went blind. And it's nice and fire fell over face down. I can start going into some people that you know, some things that took place, and God still showed mercy to them. Not because of me. I'm nothing, brothers and sisters. I'm not sitting here testifying these things. Think, well, you know, Brother Rob, you know, you just think too highly of yourself. No, I don't. I think real highly of Him. And if it's me no longer speaking and Him speaking, you need to be careful what you receive and what you reject. Because when you go to rejecting things, you could be rejecting the Spirit of God, and you could reject your own salvation by being an unbeliever. You see, brothers and sisters, my purpose here tonight teaching some of these things and talking about these things isn't to make you a Christian Templeite, if there's such a thing as that, to make you something as such. My purpose is to bring you into the understanding and the mind of Christ that you could walk in the Spirit of God and you could start differentiating your own life and know who you are in Him. So as we go to the Lord Jesus Himself and we say, Son of Man, Son of God. Some would say, well, I'm so thankful that God came and died on the cross of Calvary for me, for I could have eternal life. But see, you're an heir. God did not die on the cross of Calvary. God's the Prince of Life. You understand what I'm saying? God is the Prince of Life. You understand that? God is the Prince of Life. He cannot die. Amen? But the Son of Man died on the cross of Calvary. Now we're differentiating. So if you could make this differentiation in your mind and rend the veil between the Son of Man and Son of God, I'm all in the Bible here. This is what the Bible says. He was both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man and Son of God. Now the thing is, He came and received the punishment. He didn't come from the loins of a man like you and I did as a man. He came from a seed from heaven and He was not corrupted in that perspective. But then yet He come through a woman, a birthing. The woman had a place there to bring forth the Son of God and the Son of Man. Twain, both. They were both there now. Don't misunderstand me now. They were both there. This is why when you get into differentiating, you got to be so careful because you could speak against something that is so closely knit together. The Bible said it takes the sword of the Spirit to divide the bone and the marrow. Now tell me, some of you medical people, the bone and marrow is real close together. And it takes dividing the soul and the spirit, the Bible says. Now you see, some of our theologians and stuff, they say, well, there is no difference in the soul and spirit. But the reason they say that is because they've never received the Holy Ghost, the feeling of the Spirit of God. Because when you receive that Spirit, it is sharp enough to divide the soul and the spirit. And we've taken in teaching and much teaching and time here and differentiated the difference between the soul and the spirit right here in this church. That you can understand it, what the difference is. You see, there's a difference between the Father and the Word. We could say Son and the Holy Ghost. There's a difference, but these three are one. How do you make them different then, Brother Rom? With the sword of the Spirit, I could differentiate them. One into the invisible realm of the Spirit, another one into a physical realm that we could see and comprehend and understand, and then the Spirit that was molded within that to bring forth the attributes and understanding of an invisible God came and dwells with us in us in measure. It was in Jesus without measure, but it comes and dwells within us in measure. In the second heaven, it's so beautiful and so awesome. But man, I'll tell you what, once you taste of the third and look into the third, you wouldn't want to no longer dwell in the second. It's like, oh my, you know, but when you come out of the first and you find yourself in the second, you're seeing things because you come into a realm of light, twilight, and there's light there. The ministers of Satan are light there. You understand what I'm saying? They're light there. So you come into a realm of light. But brothers and sisters, the light of the third heaven eradicates it all, along with the bride. Along with the sons of God, it eradicates all of it there. And we become into oneness with God. You understand that? And you say, now you're going to do away with the sons of God, huh? The sons had a purpose. We had a purpose to come and walk among men to be crucified, brothers and sisters, for others could have salvation. And you say, but Jesus Christ came and was crucified and died once and for all for us. And He is the salvation. He is the Savior. There is no other God. There's no other way. So why would we have to come and be crucified? Because we are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And we're part of the body of Christ. And He gave us the strength and the power to do the very same thing that He done when He was here. And He said, even greater things will we do. You see, but people have problems with that. Well, I don't know if I could receive that. I know you can't. It's because you're an unbeliever, but I just stay with the Scriptures and the Word of God. You might think I'm crazy. You may think I'm fanatic. You may think I'm fanatical or whatever. You know, I just don't know about all this, Brother Rob. That's okay. We'll pray for you and get you cleaned up for you. Quit being a stench and then put a bottle in your mouth and we'll grind up some of this and drink of it. Amen. And it's good. And I'm not mocking babies. Brothers, it's wonderful to be a little baby in God and to need the sincere milk of the Word. I'm a minister. I've got to give the sincere milk of the Word. I talk about the simplistic things of God. I talk about Jesus and Him crucified, coming to this earth and dying for you that you can have life. I teach you that you need to repent of your sins and find a place to ask God to have mercy on you, being a sinner, that He could forgive you and wash you and cleanse you, that He could put your name in the book of life, that you could live forever and ever with Him. I try to talk about the simple things of God, but somewhere, brothers and sisters, as we're growing up in the grace of God, the Bible says that we need meat. And it teaches us that we got to get meat. You understand what I'm saying? We got to get sometimes some meat and get our teeth into some things and eat of something to make us strong. And sometimes we need strength to overcome the doctrines of this world. We're in a late day and hour, and there's gross darkness has infiltrated America and throughout all of the world. And we need to get settled in some doctrine that we're not tossed to and fro in our mind and our thoughts are wavering around. And we find that Satan, the accuser of the brethren, beats us up and beats us over the head and has us walking far below the means of where we're supposed to be. So I try to teach you and preach to you the mysteries of God. And the thing is, the Bible said that we're stewards of the mysteries. Amen. And you say, well, what does that mean, Brother Rom? A steward of the secrets of God. And there's the secret chambers of God. And there's a place that you must enter into with the Lord. And if you don't enter into that place, then you will have no salvation. Because the child is the heir to the throne, and you being the bride has got to enter into the secret chambers with the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you enter into the secret chambers with Him, because you're that bride, been made without spot, wrinkle, and blemish as a virgin. You understand? That's what you are by the works of Christ at Calvary. And He made you a virgin, and He takes you into the secret chambers with Him. Amen. And then you receive the seed that remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin. Amen. And I could go into the book of Revelation and do some reading here and to help you explain some of this, but we just don't have time tonight because I was losing you a minute ago. Grieves the Spirit of God when you sit there. If the Lord Himself came and prepared a table before you and sees you going off to sleep and just lightly esteeming the things of God, it grieves the Spirit of God. You know, so the thing is maybe you have to go through some catastrophic event or something to wake you up and shake you up. You might think, oh Lord, I'm considering my ways, man. So brothers and sisters, it's time for you to get on board. Judgment begins in the house of God, and it starts with the headship, and it goes right on down through a body. Let's get real with God, amen. Let's realize who we are in Christ. And you say, well, the Lord wouldn't do something like that. I just don't believe anything of such as that. Well, in the realms that you live in and stuff, He doesn't do that, because sometimes those realms are not His. But the Bible said He chastens them that He loves. Amen. And the thing is He teaches us very clearly that evil cannot come to that city, lest I send it, saith the Lord. Amen. So the thing is you better start learning to understand God. It's His will for you to be in health and strength and to prosper. And that's His will for you. Amen. That's what He desires for you. He doesn't desire to chasten you just as a natural father. You know, it's not like I was going home from work thinking, I can't wait to get home and beat my son. Probably thought I was thinking that way many times when I got home. But you know, I didn't think that way. You know, you want to love your children. You'd like to see them when you get home, maybe to get an embrace and whatever from your children because you love your children. But there was a time you had to. Amen. And we're serving an awesome God, a heavenly Father that does the very same thing. I'm going to read a scripture to you here, and I've not even touched on the things. I've just opened up a bunch of doors so we could really get into some awesome things here this evening. I was rending the veil between the Lord and the Christ here in the close of the service, and trying to rend the veil between the Son of Man and the Son of God. And we know that one was done away with on the cross of Calvary. The Son of Man died and was put into hell for you wouldn't have to. And the Spirit of the Lord, the eternal Spirit of God, went into hell and redeemed Him from hell, that He would not see corruption. And He was the firstborn of many brethren, brothers and sisters, and came. And then when that body goes through the transfiguration, the metamorphosis, that body that was telestial, that body that was numbered to the earth and numbered to the ground and numbered in iniquity and numbered in sin, when it comes forth, it comes in beauty and perfection, and it comes in spirit. It's no longer bird flesh, beast flesh, the Bible says. It then becomes spirit flesh, celestial, the Bible Bible teaches, flesh. It's no longer corruptible flesh, sinful flesh. It is then spirit flesh. This is what the Bible teaches. It goes through the metamorphosis, it goes through the change, the transfiguration, and then it becomes that. Now the Bible says, now ye, speaking of you and I, it says, now ye are the sons of God. It says the world doesn't see you of what you already are. When people look at me, they don't see me as a son of God. See, a son of God is a God. When you look at me, you're still seeing the lying image, the vanity of flesh. That's what you see when you look at me. This is why we got to be careful when we teach revelational truths. You know, you say, man, I went out there to that church and that preacher's teaching he's a God. And you bring them on to me and say, what are you going to do, Brother Rob? I'm going to defend the truth. But first I'm going to stand eye to eyeball with them and say, oh, look, I'm the least of any of you. I'm just a man. And it's appointed unto me once to die and then the judgments of the living God. Amen. But if you want to talk, sir, and you want to get into some revelation and you want to talk about what God's done for me, and I'll take him to the scripture, because Jesus asked him, and I say this often so times, Jesus said, you know, what good works have I done that you want to take these stones up and stone me? And they said, it's not for the good works that you've done, it's because you are a mere man. It's what they told Jesus. It's because you are a man and you're making yourself to be God. Now this is his reply. And Jesus's reply to them was this. He said, but isn't it written that ye are gods? That's what he said. And then you could go over into the Old Testament in the book of Psalms, and it says right there, I believe it's in 82 if I'm right, it might be 84, but you could search it out. You got your little concordances and your computers or whatever, but you could find it. It's there. And it said that ye are gods, but you die like men for one reason, and that's a lack of knowledge. Now the thing is, brothers, I teach the Bible. Now Jesus is the one that taught that. He's my example. He's my God. And he says, ye are gods. Then we go over into on farther into the teaching in the scriptures and things. And the Bible says that now, beloved, it says, now ye are the sons of God. Amen. Now the thing is, it said the world doesn't see you of what you are. But it says when he appears, that you will appear with him and be just like him. So the thing is what do I believe? Do I believe that I'm going to be a God someday? Or do I believe that I already am? Now again, Jesus, when he walked among men, was he a man or was he God? Which one was he? Somebody help me out here. Which one was he? You say he was both, Brother Ron. He was twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man and Son of God. So here I stand before you, and you say, are you a God? And if some carnal-minded man comes to me, I say, no, I'm a man. But a spiritual man might walk up to me and say, I'm a God. And you say, well, wait a minute, Brother Rob, I don't understand that. I know that's why I'm taking this time up here to teach you tonight, for you can start understanding, for you don't die like a man. That's the whole purpose of what I'm doing here. It's my calling and my obligation to teach you the Word and the Scriptures. So what are you, Brother Rob? Well, brothers and sisters, the thing is we have to differentiate again. So the thing is, the world isn't going to see me as a God. They're not going to know me. The Bible says that they're yearning and they're longing and they're waiting. For what? The manifestation of us, the sons of God. That's what they're yearning and longing for. But brothers and sisters, if they would get their eyes open, when Jesus looked at them, he said, though you have eyes, you don't see. And I'm speaking tonight, I say, now look, if you get your eyes open and pray that God would open up your eyes, then you would see who we are in Christ. Who are we? We're sons of God. We're eternal. We're living forever. We can't die. We pass from death unto life. We're more than conquerors. We can't sin. We can't die. You say, that's crazy. Well, then why serve God? If you can't believe that, why even serve God? Just get off, get out in the world, and kick up your heels, and just live it up in the world. Have a good time. Get you a little tequila. Get one with the worm in it, and eat that thing. Have a good time. Twist it up a little bit down at the dance hall. Woohoo! Have a good time. That's what you need to do. If you can't believe what I'm saying, when are we going to get this eternal life if we don't have it now? When are we going to start living forever? We've got it. You ain't going to get it when you take your last breath. All of a sudden they're putting dirt in your face and all of a sudden the Spirit's going to go boom and jump in you. No, we get it now. Today is the day of salvation. Today, brothers and sisters, he is the I am. It's now. You know, people, they always want to put everything to the future or everything in the past. Well, let me tell you about this great Jesus. Oh, he walked among men 2,000 years ago. Oh, he was so awesome. Man, he come and walked along with everybody. You know, you're mocking, Brother Rob. Yeah, I'm mocking. We need to make God alive and make him real and make him now. Amen. Oh, but he's coming someday. Oh, someday, beloved, he's going to show up the eastern sky. He's going to roll back like a big quill, and we're going to see the Son of God in the air. Well, they're right. Poor things. Them poor things. So I guess this great God that we are entrusting our eternal life with, this great God that we love so much, lied to him when he left over there 2,000 years ago. This great God lied to him 2,000 years ago, and he said, "Go ye there and tarry there in Jerusalem until you receive power." When they receive the Holy Ghost, who's the Holy Ghost? It's God. God came back. He's already come. Oh, I'm waiting on the return, Lord. He already come. You've already missed him. You understand? He is the resurrection. Amen. Well, I'm waiting on the rapture. I've already been raptured. I'm caught away in heavenly places. See, people, they just have troubles with this. Well, Brother Rob, I've been taught all my life that I'm waiting on a rapture. Well, you've been taught somewhat of a truth. This body will be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, and it'll be changed. And that's a future rapture. A collective one. The ones that have gone on and laid out there in the boxes, that body will come to it. All them little molecules and all that stuff still there. And this great awesome God ain't lost a one of them. And he'll pull all them molecules back together and he'll put them all together and pop out of that ground, amen. And they're going to be there. And he's going to put it all back together and they're going to come forth, amen. You understand that? You see, your teaching isn't all wrong, but there's not enough of it. People are waiting on deliverance. They're waiting on salvation. They're waiting on eternal life. I am eternal life. They're waiting on the resurrection. I am the resurrection. You can't say that. I am the resurrection, thus saith the Lord God. I am the resurrection. Why? Because I'm bone and bone and flesh of the flesh of the Lord Jesus. Well, I'm waiting on the Savior. I am a Savior. You say, oh, no, there's only one. I know that. I'm one with Him. I'm in Him, and He's in me, and I'm through Him. This is what the Bible says. Read your Bibles. It says Saviors with an S at the end in plural, but there's only one. The Bible says one God, one faith, one baptism. Just one. But then it'll turn over and tell us to go into doctrines of baptisms with an S. Well, that don't make sense. I know it don't make sense to you because you haven't learned to rightly divide the Word of God. There's only one baptism, just as there's only one God, but there's a Father, Word, and a Holy Ghost. And you say, I know that's a three-person God. No, you're ignorant. There's no three-person God. It's a God that's invisible. That's not a person. Person you could see. The Bible said the Father's invisible. No man is seen. If he was a person, you would see him. And if he was a person, how could he be at the highest height and the deepest depth? All at one time. And how could that person live in you and person live in me? He's spirit. God is spirit. Amen. Amen. You see, we got to get into the mind of Christ. And we start teaching this kind of foolishness because we got too much Catholic in it. Oh, God, three person. Brothers and sisters, there's no Bible. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what the Bible says. It's Jesus. You're Jesus only. I am. But then yet I believe in the Father. What are you going to do with that? Oh, brothers and sisters, I love you and I appreciate you. I know these things go out. I got to sometimes finish up and get some things going. These things go out in CDs and we send them out into other countries. And there's people that ain't never heard these things. You may have a greater understanding than me. You might be full of revelation. And maybe I should sit down and shut up and let you get up here and go into the marvelous mysteries of God. But I'm called to preach the gospel and I'm doing what I'm called to do. I'm trying to lead and guide people and teach them in the grace and knowledge of God. And I'm challenging them and opening up scriptures and things to them that they could start looking and differentiating and start trying to figure out, for they know how to speak. And they know who they are in Christ. Amen. When you speak as a man, you speak as one appointed to death. When you speak as a God, you speak that one that is eternal, that's living forever and cannot die. So what are you tonight? I'm life and life abundant, life eternal. I'm life. I'm resurrection. I am living forever. I've passed from death unto life. Amen. I'm eternal. I can't die. I'm more than a conqueror. Passed from death unto life. You say, man, that's a whole lot said for an ignorant-looking young fella like you. And I say, yeah and amen. But it wasn't the ignorant-looking young fella that was talking here. It was the Prince of Peace. The one that spoke everything into an existence. The one that spoke this old hunk of dirt that you're standing on into an existence and molded you from the elements of nothing and could make you something and make you everything. Amen. You need to be careful what you're listening to and what you're hearing. You say, well, man, I think maybe I need to run from this, man. You know, this and that. Be careful what you run from. You might be running from life and salvation. I haven't violated the scriptures, not one iota tonight. If you've listened to this by radio, by message, or by CD, or whatever you may be listening to it by, I challenge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to write me whatever you got. There's places to write, and I would say that you write me and you bring me scripture understanding, and I'll publicly apologize if I've missed the scriptures anywhere. But I can tell you, thus saith the Lord, that I've stayed within the guidelines guidelines and the framework of the scriptures and the word of God and the spirit of the living God. And you need to get in the Bible and you need to start reading and pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that you could start rightly dividing the word of God and differentiate between the body, soul, and the spirit, the first, second, and third heaven, the natural, physical, and spiritual things, and could start looking and understanding the word. Amen. And find out if you've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God and transformated in thought and mind into the mind of Jesus Christ through the transformation to bring righteousness upright in the earth that other people could see it, and knowing that this body will be changed in the moment of twinkling of eye and be transfigured. Amen. So the thing is I challenge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of the ministers that listen to these things are overconfident and puffed up in their own fleshly mind, thinking they know something when they don't know what they should know, and they have been turned over to a reprobate mind, and some, the Bible says, are ministers of Satan that have transformed themselves into ministers of light, and some are just hirelings, and they got their deacon boards and their little job and their little itineraries, and they go over to their hospitals and do their little visitations to tell more people about hell, where they're going, and they're going to find themselves twofold more the child of hell, and going to find Satan chewing on them with their theological institution and their degree and all of their understanding. They're just nothing more than little babies, amen. And you say, well, you just think too highly of yourself. I think I'm the least of any of you, but I know that there's the great God with all of his understanding, and there's an unction from the Holy Ghost, the Holy One, that's speaking forth here tonight. And this isn't to lift me up and make me anything great among men, because I'm nothing. But there is a God, an eternal God dwelling in me that's no longer I speaking, but it's Christ speaking. So you need to listen by the mind of Christ. You need to discern by the Spirit of God and pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of discernment, that you could discern the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of God's word and get right with God. God bless you. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's give the Lord a hand, saints. Come on. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. You're our God, our King, and our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. While we're giving the Lord a hand, let's give Brother Billy a hand coming out and fellowshipping with us tonight. And Brother Mike coming over and visiting with us. Amen. These men shouldn't be visitors. They should be numbered with us, laboring and helping us do something for God. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Let's sing a song or two tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your opportunity to get in the altars and say, God, have mercy on me. Save my soul from eternal damnation and hell. Set me free, Lord Jesus. Amen. You love him? Amen. I'm glad I came to church tonight. I feel like I've been in church.
He paid a debt he did not.
You ever been at a basketball game or a football game and was sitting there looking at the clock? I wish they'd hurry up. Nah, it's not that way. They'll stay out in the cold, snow coming out of the sky, and ice and drizzling rain. Mosquitoes bite flies. And they say, hallelujah, look at that guy go. That big old ugly monkey with a pig skin. Look at him, boy, he can run, man. Sad, isn't it? We're in the house of God, standing before the living King of Kings. Amen. Hallelujah. Standing before the judge of all things in all the world this morning. As I said, when that Brother Branham was baptizing, that young lady thought, I don't need baptism. There ain't nothing to this. Falls face forward and goes off into insanity. Perfectly fine young lady goes, slips into insanity and spends the rest of her life in a sane asylum. Say, I don't believe it. That's all right. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. My dad standing right beside me. Man came up, put his finger in my face. He said, that's a cult that you're in. It's nothing, no more than a cult. And he turned around and walked away. I said, sir, wait just a minute. And he kept on walking. The other man stood there. And I said, sir, let me explain something to you. And I testified the Lord Jesus Christ. The other man said, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to explain that to me. And I turned to my dad. I said, that man right there, I said, Dad, you'll be reading about him in the newspapers. Less than 2 weeks, he smashed his airplane in less than a quarter of a mile where we were standing, when the man put his finger in my face, speaking against the work of God. And the man smashed into the ground and died. You say, are you happy about that? No, not at all. I stand before my living God with sorrow for the man's soul. But I can say this, that I'm serving a just God. And he's a righteous God. I'm not the one. I didn't curse the man. The Bible said we have the power to bless and to curse, is what the Bible says. It says we have the power to retain and to remit sin. Read the scriptures. That's what the Bible says. The Bible said we're the avengers of God. And woe unto you that hold the sword back from blood. You see, you've been around church too long and a bunch of churchy games and stuff. Let's get real with God and find out what's happening in the Word. Fall in love with Jesus. I'm going to read a scripture here to you real quick out of Romans, the first chapter, the 20th verse. And we read it so oftentimes. It says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's awesome, ain't it? What are you saying, Brother Rom? The invisible God dwelled here with you tonight and spoke to you, even the things that you could see and the things that you could hear audibly. It spoke forth this evening. Amen. Yes, the invisible Heavenly Father, the invisible God, the Creator of all, the one that spoke everything into an existence, made Himself visible tonight to bring you an understanding and a comprehension if you have eyes to see. And you say, what do you think, that you are God? No. I think that I'm the least of any of you. I'm looking at you and saying, ye are God. Amen. Because you're bone and bone and flesh of the Lord Jesus. And you say, man, this sounds like it's getting right close to being an occult. Man, it's getting real close. And I say, oh yeah, deceive the elect if it were possible, but it isn't possible. Amen. I walked in what they called right. And I walked in that. And I found that I was the one that was in deception. Amen. When I was walking in a three-person God, and when I was walking in some of the things of the religious ideologies of the colleges of America, and from the seminary schools of America, and was walking way below my means because I was listening and being indoctrinated by men. And one day, by the grace and the mercies of God, I had a preacher that said, you need to get baptized in Jesus Christ's name, for the blinders will come off of your eyes. Right. And I said, yes, sir, I'm listening. I'm listening to you, whatever. And he took and baptized me over in the wintertime in some very cold water, for I can get my eyes opened up and I can start seeing good when good comes, and start walking in righteousness and start walking upright in the Lord and starting to get my understanding opened up. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. If you've been baptized in the name of titles, I say get baptized in Jesus' name, for you can get your eyes opened up and start seeing good when good comes. Amen. All right, Brother Ed, let's sing another song. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad you come out tonight, Brother Mike. I'm glad I got to preach at you a little bit. I got to preach to Brother Troy over there a little bit. Brother Sammy back there a little bit. I got to stick a sword or two in Brother Billy there a couple times. Is he bleeding, Brother Jonathan? He looks all right. He'll make it, won't he? I love the Lord. You love Him? Can somebody say, I love you, Jesus? Let's say it again. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We'll get Brother Jerry Lambert to come up and dismiss us. It's been good to have our Brother Jerry and Sister Nancy fellowshipping with us. Amen. It's always wonderful to have the sons of God come and visit and fellowship with us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We're going to give the Lord one more hand as Brother Jerry comes. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.